in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 567. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined this COVID morning by Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Co-host extraordinaire. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby 91.7 on your FM dial and streaming live at KOOP.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Stay with us.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes. This world, oh yeah. When you walk through a storm.
It is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020, and on the show today we have Chad Dyke of Zach Theater's Education Department, and then later on we'll be talking to the other part of Nick Squared, Mr. Nick Mayo, and he's going to talk to us about Fry Plays in New York. Stick with us. Nicole, do you recognize who that was?
Do I know this version of this song?
I don't know. It's Gary and the Pacemakers did a version of You'll Never Walk Alone from Carousel. And there are, the New York Times had a very big article today about all the different versions that have happened. I really wanted to play the Aretha one, but it was way too maudlin for an already maudlin day.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll put that on the back burner to pull out one day, from the archives one day.
Yeah, but there is an article that talks about You'll Never Walk Alone from all the different versions, from the movie version to Aretha's version to Patti LaBelle, lots of different versions of You'll Never Walk Alone. And I think that's particularly apropos today, don't you?
Yes.
This article was written before all the problems that we're having currently in our society, which is what I want to take a little bit of time to talk about right now. Let me start, before we get started, by saying that we are recording this on Monday. So you are hearing this. There may have been a lot more that's happened between now and then. Anything that Nicole and I talk about here are our own opinions, and not that of Co-op, the board of directors, or the staff of Co-op Radio. Strictly our opinions. So I just wanted to take a moment and talk about George Floyd's death and what's happening in Austin. And I stand in solidarity with those protesters out there. I'm not 100% sure of their tactics many times, but I'm right out there with them. What about you?
I'm completely with the protesters. It's the rioting, but those aren't all the people that are out there peacefully protesting. I think that I'm not talking about the peaceful protests, because I saw some powerful, powerful moments.
The Broadway community has spoken out. A whole bunch of different shows have tweeted out their support. I'm going to read a few of them.
There's been some really great ones. I'm glad you're reading them.
Ain't Too Proud said, "We will not rest until real change is made."
Mm-hmm.
Company said, "Alone is alone, not alive. To be silent is to be complicit. Black lives matter. You are not alone." Hamilton said, "We stand on the side of justice. Black lives matter." Lincoln Center Theater said, "We are deeply saddened and angry at the injustice around us. We cannot pretend to understand George Floyd's experience, but we stand with the protests in Minneapolis and around the country. There is much more work for us to do." And then the last one I want to read is from MTC, and they said, "Although our theaters are closed now, we will not remain silent. We raise our voices now to condemn racism and reaffirm that Black lives matter." I know that the local theaters are putting together a group statement to release soon. And then I know our theater, Ground Floor Theater, will be releasing a video later today.
Zach posted a really beautiful statement over the weekend.
Wonderful. That's good. So the Drama Desk Awards, which were supposed to be last night, were postponed. As are the Tony Awards and the Public Theater Gala. And those are all being postponed because of what's going on in the world right now, which I think is interesting.
It is interesting because I had that internal like, oh, that'd be nice. And then I'm like, Nicole, bigger fish to fry. You cannot be having that junk. Like, no one can be focusing on that to do that.
And the last little sad piece of news I want to talk about since we were on last is that Larry Kramer, playwright and AIDS activist, passed away last week. So he is he's done more for the cause of AIDS and theater. And we talked a little bit last week, I think it was last week, that we talked about how none of the big health crisis in the country have ever been immortalized in literature and art, except for the AIDS crisis. And that's huge. And Larry Kramer is a big part of that.
Yeah, he was. It's a big loss.
Yep. And he wrote The Normal Heart, which just had a revival not too long ago. And
just
I believe,
have to say, he's kind of really had a resurgence where I think this next generation has learned who this man was. It's like, yeah, there was an AIDS crisis, but let us tell you about the person who really helped shed a light on everything. I think a whole new generation, you know?
Yep. So the Normal Heart opened at the Public Theater in 1985 and ran for almost a year. And then it had it was 2011. I thought it was later than that, was the revival in New York.
When did they put it on the HBO? Like, remember it had that whole resurgence on HBO. Wasn't that like 5 years ago, 4 years ago? Wasn't it with Mark Ruffalo and Sheldon from Big Bang? What's his name? Jim Parsons?
Unknown. I mean, I know that I did not see it, so I'm unaware. I know your memory is much better than mine.
It was a really good version. I was surprised. I didn't know how well it was going to be done on HBO, and I was really pleasantly surprised. They did a beautiful job.
Well, I want to make sure that we have time for our guests, and of course, we've already gone through a lot of things that I had. We actually just scratched the surface of things I wanted to talk about today. But let's just go to our first interview. And if we have time after that interview to do some more discussion about what's going on nationally, we will. And I want to have our first interview is with Mr. Nick Mayo, who is very involved with the Pride Plays along with Michael Urey. And we talked to him, what, was it 2 days ago?
It was early Saturday morning. It was early Saturday.
It was nice to have the group back together. And I should say right now, I should have said at the very top that Backstage at Offstage is back. So we will have Backstage afterwards.
You got smell-o-vision into all of our rooms.
That's true. Let's listen to our interview with Nick Mayo. All right, folks. Guess who we have here on the line via Zoom that we can see and you cannot? Zoom does not like it when two people talk at the same time. Well, that should tell folks that we have Nick Mayo here, formerly of Offstage and On the Air, formerly of Austin, Texas, formerly of New York, and currently of New York. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm happy to see you and Nicole.
I wish folks could see this. As a matter of fact, with the two of your permission, I'm going to take a screenshot of this and post this on our website so people can see that we're all together.
Yay!
Even though wearing no makeup.
Me either.
I can tell.
And I've got COVID hair. Oh!
I have COVID everything. Well, Nick, we have you on mainly because we love you, but really most importantly right now, we have you on because of your position with Pride Plays and the work that y'all are doing. And you have this lovely write-up in the New York Times.
Yay.
So that's great with you and Michael Urie and Doug Nevin working together to bring Pride to the theater. So last year was your first year, very successful. You were at Rattlestick. And this year, what's the plan? Because things are different.
Well, things are different. Last year was, we intended to do a one-time festival to celebrate 50 years of theatrical pride since Stonewall, right? So last year was such a big global pride that, you know, we thought that was our way to have the theater have a presence during global pride.
Yep.
So we thought it would be a one-time thing. We brought you on, Lisa, graciously as a member of our advisory committee, as well as, you know, Che Yu and Lucy Thurber and Moises Kaufman. Had a great advisory committee, all came up with all these different ideas, had ended up doing 19 plays over the course of 5 days with over 250 artists last year at the Rattlestick in the heart of the West Village during Global Pride. It was electric.
Amazing.
It was really electric. And so the second it ended, we looked at each other and said, we have to do this every year. Just every color of the rainbow, every shade of hue, all of us coming together for our love of the theater to tell the stories of the LGBTQ plus community by the members of that community.
Right.
So it was truly an explosion, a celebration of all that is joyful about our community. So we were so elated to do it again this year. This year we extended it a little bit and had a submission process. Over 250 artists from all across the country, all across the world, submitted their plays. And then we chose out of those submissions. and we chose and we were ready to go. And then what happened in March happened. And we quickly pivoted and said, well, we're not going to do it. We just won't do anything. That was our first response. And then Playbill.com approached us and said, hey, listen, would you like, oh, it was around the time we were doing Buyer and Seller. We did Buyer and Seller online with Michael Urie as a fundraiser for Broadway Cares.
Which I did not get to see. I was very, very disappointed.
I know someone with a link.
Send it on.
I know someone with a link.
Send it on.
So it was during that Playbill approached us and said, hey, listen, we would love to be your media sponsor for Pride Plays. Would you consider that? And we all three looked at each other and went, yes.
Yes.
So that's the long and short of it. We pulled the plug and then we plugged right back in because we got the media platform with Playbill. And we're delighted to have them as a sponsor.
Well, that's great. Now you're doing four productions that are open to the public. And tell us about those, and then also tell us about the other things that are happening outside of those four pieces.
Absolutely. So the four, we call them our prime time slots, right? Because
PTSs, we call those.
We do call them our pts. They're our four prime time slots are every Friday in the month of June at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Playbill.com. We'll start off this coming Friday. Oy vey. This coming Friday is our first with the Five Lesbian Brothers, Lisa Crone and Babs Davey and the Five Lesbian Brothers.
Doing
Brave Smiles, Another Lesbian Tragedy. They're reuniting the Five Lesbian Brothers to do this piece. So we're thrilled. They're currently in rehearsal in another Zoom right now. So that'll be our first play. Our second play will be One and Two by Donye Love. It was done earlier this year with a new group. It's a beautiful piece about being men of color during a plague. So
there you go.
About timely. We're very, very happy to have Donye's work. Donye is a really fantastic playwright. The third play will be Masculinity Max by MJ Kaufman. MJ is sort of on the forefront in terms of trans playwrights. They run TransLab, which is the writing workshop here in New York. Masculinity Max is amazing, side-splittingly hysterical, and development at the public. We're thrilled to have it. And then our fourth is Zach Quinto is going to direct Men from the Boys, which is the sequel to Boys in the Band, Mark Crowley's play. So it's a way for us to honor Mark. So those are our four primetime slots. We're thrilled. We're excited about it.
What a great lineup. That's just so amazing. I can't wait to see each and every one of them.
Yeah, thank you.
And are you doing those live?
Those are all going to be live streamed on playbill.com at 7 o'clock every Friday. And there's a philanthropic lens to it. We're hoping to raise money for Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS.
Awesome. Well, that's can't have a better organization, or one of the, I have to say that one of the many organizations that is going on here. Are y'all doing anything in particular around Larry Kramer's death?
It's so tricky, Lisa, as you know, like with the loss of Terrence and Larry.
I was about to say, and Terrence too. Yeah.
There's three huge Goliaths in our field, in our industry, who've passed. So there will be something. We don't know what it is and how to honor. How can you honor the loss of those three amazing people?
Yeah,
I've been watching the Bootleg Rink. That's the best way I can honor Terrence.
We'll just pretend you didn't say that.
That was for Nick.
There's a big article. I mean, this is a tangential. So there's a very big article about the amount of people that are watching bootlegs and how they're really trying to stem that because it takes money out of the mouths of us.
I remember, and Nicole and I talk about this, that for my 9th birthday, my father gave me a bootleg Betamax recording of The Rink.
I get it. And I forgot who's doing it. There is a streamed version of the Glass Meningery happening.
Ooh, I love the Glass Meningery.
Yes.
It's one of my favorites.
All right. So back to the Pride Place. Tell us about the other offerings other than I don't know. They're not public offerings, but you're doing other work around Pride and plays during the month of June.
Yeah, so you both know the sensitivity of what it is to develop a new play, and that a new play, much like a new relationship, needs time and space and reflection and gentleness. So one of the joys of last year's festival was having new plays and having a loving built-in audience of ecstatic queer people who just want to support the work. And you're there for 3 hours. There's 100 of you in a room. You hear a play, and then you go on to the next one, and it's done. Obviously, with the rise of online and making things digitally available, it's not really conducive to that sort of gentleness that a new play needs, throwing it out to the wolves of the internet.
Right.
Being able to comment on it in ways that aren't productive. So what we did was we have 11 plays that will be in private, invite-only Zoom rooms, where it really is just an opportunity to work on the play and to have the playwright have the ability to work with the cast and directors. It does truly, it's centered on the story and the storytelling. So we'll have 11 plays in the month of June, all in developmental Zoom workshops.
That is actually really great. And one of the things one of the good things that may come out of this whole thing is that, playwrights will have the opportunity, in this case, and then I hope it's being used elsewhere, to get get feedback from a national group of people. It's not relegated to putting people in a room per se, which is important. I think having people in a room changes the flavor of things.
Of course.
But it allows these playwrights to get feedback from people that they would never get feedback from because of geography.
Totally. Lisa, you're so right. And, that's one of our top things was to protect these plays and these playwrights.
I think that's such a great... I just love that attitude, ethically, morally, and artistically.
But at the same time, I mean, let's also talk about it this way. We can work with a playwright, for instance, Rodney Hicks, and his play Just Press Save is being directed by Michael Greif. So if at the end of that, Rodney says, hey, you know what? Pride plays, guys, would you invite some of your community and the artistic directors in your community to see this reading of my play? Of course, I'm going to call my friend Lisa, who happens to be the artistic director of Ground Floor Theater and an advisory committee, a member on Pride plays, and say, hey, Lisa, I need you to pop in and hear this reading of this play because it might be good for Ground Floor. So it's, you know, it's nice to protect them. And it's almost like you're inviting people to a dinner party, right? And you want to make sure that you don't put Aunt Lester next to, you know, whoever who spits.
Uncle Leroy, because those two are toxic together.
Uncle Leroy is a jerk.
Is a jerk. First time he brought a shotgun to Thanksgiving dinner was the last time he was invited to Thanksgiving dinner.
You forgot about Uncle Drunk Dave.
There we call him DD. No, that's really good. I think that's a wonderful way to look at what we're doing with a community that needs to be handled right now with a little bit of get gloves. So
of course.
That's important.
Of course.
Well, I'm so happy that we've droned on, so to speak, and we've run out of time. But I'm so happy. We want you back. You should just come back during our virtual sessions and be part of Nick Squared.
Hey, listen. Now that we know that this is something we're doing, I would be delighted to come back at any time. I just seeing your faces and hearing your voice brings me so much joy. I love you both so much. And I also want to say, Austin Theater, take care, be well. We're all in this together. Please know we're feeling the pain here in New York. I know that a lot of people are feeling the pain there in the arts community. Please know that you're not alone in your sorrow. We're all here. We're all shouldering it together. And as what's trending right now, it really, truly is just an intermission. We'll be back.
Well said. Nick Mayo, thank you for coming on. And if folks want information about Pride Plays, where do they go?
You can go to rattlestick.org.
Rattlestick.org. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming back on Offstage and on the Air. And we've reinstated Backstage, so I'm hoping you'll stick around to come to our virtual Backstage for a moment.
Will do.
Awesome. See ya.
See ya. Thank you.
Oh my God, I miss him.
I miss him. We didn't have to hold the mayo today.
We did not.
With a full sandwich.
We did not. So we're all talking about when to reopen. Did you happen to read Actors Equity's statement about reopening?
Yes, I did. I feel like I had a lot more thoughts when it came out last week. And since the world has changed, I have less thought about it.
They outlined four principles that have to be satisfied. So just to be clear right now, Actors Equity has said that their members cannot rehearse or perform shows. And those four principles are: the epidemic must be under control. We need to have effective testing. There need to be few new cases in the area, and contact tracing needs to be in place. Shows or theaters like the Barrington Stage is planning to open in July.
I saw that there were some of these stages, and
I'm sorry, in August, not in July.
In August?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
with a one-man show called Harry Clark. But if Equity says, you know, if Equity's not allowing them to perform, what's that going to do? But they are in negotiations with Equity, so we'll see what happens. It's a big unknown. And
I know it's funny. We used to say, "Oh, that's 2 months from now. We can figure it out." But 2 months doesn't mean anything anymore.
So everybody says different things. The president of the Broadway League is saying January 1st that she thinks that people will be in the theaters, that there won't be restrictions on the amount of people in that theater. And then basically the only thing different would be that audience members will be wearing face masks. There is an article in the New York Times saying, what's the headline on it? That most people there was a survey about who's going to come back. And one of the hurdles to reopening is fear of jerks. And that is fear of other people that come in that aren't following the rules. I thought that was interesting.
I sent it to you, but I also sent it internally to some of my colleagues, but I sent it to Ann Ciccolella. I mean, the thread that went on with the fear of jerks, we were all dying. But I mean, that was a great article.
Yep. So let's take a break for some underwriting announcements, and we will come back after the break and talk about some local stuff.
Faces go past me in the street.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Shiro and Shep, Sheps and Shiro.
Yeah. So I want to start out this this section of the show talking about local stuff, specifically with one of the things that we as a theater community want to get out to the public. And we have created a survey, and it's super short. I think it's just 5 questions talking about what's going to make people more comfortable enough to go sit in a theater again. There'll be a link on our show page, but it's also can be found at hbmgfoundation.org/Austin-theater-survey. But best just go to offstageonair.com and click the link there. We really want as many people in the Austin area to fill this out. All the different theater companies are sending it out to their links so that we can aggregate all this information as a city. And some of the questions that are on it are, how often do you attend theater in Chicago? Which theaters do you go to? Have you watched any online content, et cetera? Really, there's only 6 questions. It would take less than 30 seconds to fill this out. So please go to offstageonair.com and click the link.
Almost quicker than the census, and the census was quick.
It is. So we just want to get a feel of what's going on. Interestingly enough, just so we play a little inside baseball, is that we're also putting a survey together to send to performers, technicians, creatives, when they would feel comfortable coming back to work.
I was just wondering, like, have we asked all that? That's great, Lisa. So you answered my question in my head. Yeah, you're in my head.
I'm in your head.
You're in my head.
As I mentioned earlier, we are recording this on Monday. And last night was the award ceremony for the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards, which I watched. And they have now changed their name.
Ginger had alluded to on our breaking interview a few weeks ago.
She did indeed. And it's named after the Hellers, who are big supporters of the education arm at the Long Center. And it is called the Heller Award for Young Artists. The Heya.
The Heya. Well, that's a lot easier to say.
It is a lot easier to say. They say it's a pronounceable acronym instead of GATSMATA, which I always refuse to say. The Heller Award.
I love that they kept it as an acronym for you, Lisa, because you love an acronym.
So the Heller Award for Young Audiences, and then they've named the award itself from Marianne about from. They've named the award itself after Marianne Heller, and so the award is called Marianne.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's that. And I watched it. It was very different. The feel was very different from a live performance, obviously, but it was good.
Yes. And did you see their little lovely video they made for Broadway that they posted before the awards?
Yes,
online?
I did. I saw it before and then I saw it last night during that.
Yeah. Very proud of all them. Love that Ginger. Love that
yeah.
Adam.
Yeah. So I was part of a webinar over a couple days ago, but it was for New York City small theaters, and they mm-hmm. are trying to, they have a campaign that they're calling #CancelRent, and they're trying to get the city to find some way to mitigate the rent for theaters to keep them alive. I mean, there's some 100 theaters, small theaters, 99 seats or less in New York City. And I thought that was an interesting thing, and it's something we can look at. And it did make the Times, and you can see a link to it mm-hmm. at offstageonair.com. But one of the things they were saying was perhaps, you know, because everybody's hurting here, so maybe the landlords pay 25% of the rent, the tenant pays 25%, and the city pays 50%. So that everybody has a stake in it. So I thought that was actually an interesting thing and something we might look at here.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad you were on that call. I saw those articles and I was like, I wonder what they're talking about. So I know someone who knows.
Yep, I was there on the call. And the final thing I want to talk about before we switch gears and talk to Chad Dyke at Zach Theater is you know, we talk about some of the theater companies here in town that maybe are doing things a bit premature, but the Hill Country Theater in Buda is opening a show 12th night in June.
Oh.
At the end of June, in person.
I didn't know that. I knew we had Fredericksburg opening up, but I didn't know about Buda, too.
Oh, I don't know, but is Fredericksburg also opening up?
I thought so. I thought that's what our Georgetown guy was telling us on the phone. They were opening in like 2 weeks. But I haven't looked at the theater.
I did not notice that. But this is a, it's going to be online and in person. The cast is Rob Novak, Kayla Steinbrenner, Tate Kirshner, Alejandra Carnero, Tristan Jordan, is directed by Doug DiGirolamo. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but it opens on the 25th. I don't feel that this is a good move. I'm just going to say that right out loud. They are also starting summer camp in person in July. And this sort of really gets me upset.
Not like a minimal summer camp?
I'm sure it's minimal, but I mean, any in-person camp, I think, is fraught, especially theater, because it is all about connection.
Yeah.
I just think, and this is their first year, so it's not like they're continuing on a tradition. They should wait a year. I'm just going to say that right out loud if they're listening. Well, let's listen to a theater that's taking a little bit more responsible approach to arts education and our kids. Let's talk to Chad Dyke. We actually interviewed him a few days ago as well of Zach Theater's Education Department, and it was a good interview as well. Here it is.
Yes, it was.
We are here with the Rector of Education and Community Engagement for Zach Theater, Chad Dyke, and a good friend of the show, good friend of Lisa, good friend of Nicole, who I should tell our audience, Nicole is drinking out of a Christmas mug because she wants to pretend it's cool outside. Chad Dyke, welcome back to Offstage and On the Air.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are so happy to have you. So we're here to talk about Zach's online education offerings as we've all jumped into this new, or I don't like to call it a new reality or a new normal. I like to call it a current reality or current normal.
Thank you, because I don't like new normal either. I refuse to use it. This is not normal. This is just what it is right now.
Right. We're at the current normal. So what's going on there, Zach, on the education realm?
Yeah, so we sadly had to cancel all of our in-person summer camps. We made that choice. It came down to just being what was safe for the students. And how do I run a summer camp for theater, which is all about coming together and connecting and being together in the room where we have to stay 6 feet apart? It became this like question of whether I was going to be just like yelling at students to stay in their spot all day long. And it's like, that's not what we want our camps to be. And so we made that choice just to keep everyone safe, my staff, the students, everyone. And so we're kind of moving to all online programming. I almost said pivoting, and that's the other word. If we're talking about new normal, I don't like pivot. I don't want to talk about pivoting anymore. We're shifting to all of our kind of virtual classes and programs online. So we started this spring with the end of our semester. We had to go online with that so that we could finish it out. Learned a ton during those short few weeks. And now we're ready to launch all of our kind of summer programming. So it's going to be cool. I can tell you a little bit about it if you want.
I do want to ask you. I want you to tell me all about it. But I did come up with a little notion in case you wanted to continue your in-person classes. So you should write this down. I think you could do a combination theater classes and EST training.
That sounds great.
That idea is free for Zach to use for me.
Okay. Thank you. We'll definitely take advantage of that one.
So tell us about some of the programs that you're doing online.
Lisa, you're on fire today. You have not been on fire in a while, and you are on fire today, Mike.
Well, because it's 107 degrees outside.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us some about some of your online offerings, what you're doing, and also just talk about how different they are from in-person training.
Yeah, yeah. So we kind of have, I'll talk through the programming and then talk about what's been different. So we're offering kind of three different things for kiddos starting this summer. We are trying to offer super flexible and affordable options because we know that money is tight right now for most people, and what are days anyway, right? Like, so it doesn't matter if it's a Monday or a Friday. So we are offering a monthly class pass, so you can kind of take, you can sign up for 4 classes a month or 8 classes a month or however many classes you want to take. And you can sign up for those on your schedule, on your student schedule, what works for them. They don't want to come on Monday. Great. Come on Tuesday. Totally fine.
Well, that's a good idea.
We're excited about that one. And it's different and it's going to be fun. There's things that are different about those classes, which we're excited about. We're also then offering just some normal series classes. So what we have typically done in the past, Mondays at 2 o'clock, you come and you take your class. They'll be offered throughout the day, which is the one thing that's different than kind of our normal classes. So instead of being all after school, they'll be offered, you know, noon or 2 different times. We're then also launching a whole series of master classes where we're really trying to give some of our, especially middle and high school students, some of those exposure to people that they might not have been able to get in touch with. We have connections to lots of people. Lots of people have connections to really cool, awesome movers and shakers within the theater world. And so we're looking at doing some master classes for them.
Can you?
Do you want to offer one?
I do, actually. But I'm curious whether you can spill the beans on any particular people that you might be offering up as a masterclass.
We're still working all of those details out. We know that we're going to have Dave do one. Dave Stakely, the artistic director, he's going to do one on auditioning.
Not familiar.
Not familiar? Don't know who
no,
he is?
No, not familiar. Okay. Thank you.
I'll connect you to via email. So
would you? He seems like such a nice guy.
So he's going to offer one in auditioning. We're right. also looking at one in kind of stagecraft or how you can do some of this stuff at your own home. So using some tools or things that you might have around your house. And then we're looking at, we have some, you know, friends that are on Broadway and around that we're still kind of figuring out. So I don't want to say names of anybody because it might not work out, but we are.
That's what I was looking for.
Sorry. I wish I could. I have all these meetings set up next week with all these different people. So
we cannot tease the fact that you've got Lin-Manuel Miranda coming to teach a masterclass.
No. Let's not tease that one, please.
And that Michael R. Jackson is coming to teach a playwriting class. These are great.
Those are great ideas, and I will take those back and
you're putting the vibe out into the universe, right?
And
you're
Rachel
from Lynn today.
Rachel Chafkin on your directing classes. I got it all set up for you.
That's great. That's great.
No, but that's awesome. So when you're teaching kids online theater, so mm-hmm. We have been trained in theater, and it's a very touchy-feely thing. It's all about getting in touch with people, and there is a disconnect online. How are you teaching kiddos some of the basics of theater? And as a follow-up, discouraging brand new theater students for that very reason?
Answering the second question is really easy. No, I think that you can gain some, Zach is all about teaching skills, right? So we can teach a lot of these skills over this medium. It is different and it's awkward sometimes and weird, and you say stuff that you're like, oh wait, that doesn't translate. I've got to try to do that a different way. But surprisingly, the thing that I found is that a lot of it works more way better than I thought it was. I thought I was going to have to throw out any old lesson plan I had and reformat everything. And it really has turned out that some of the activities or the games that we play to teach things, we've had to shift, but it all still works in some way. And I think that's something true about theater, that you can get this connection even in this separated sense. We've also found that a lot of our students, especially in like the conservatory or upper level programming, they have come out of their shells more with this slight distance than they were in the classroom. Mm. They were holding back because maybe they were afraid of their other students in class doing it wrong, any of those things that they have. And they're super talented kids, and we know that. But we've seen so much growth within that last month that we had classes online just because I felt like, okay, not everyone's looking at me, or maybe I just don't feel that everyone's looking at me, so I'm able to let go, or I'm able to go further into that or whatever. So it's been interesting. It is changing that whole, like, you know, opening day or opening beginning of the class circle is a little weird, right? Where you're like,
because it's a square.
Yeah, because it's a square and not everyone's in the same spot. So you're like, hey, why don't you pass it there? And it's a completely different person for everyone. So it doesn't really, you know, like this idea. So some of those things are awkward and you're like, yeah. Right. But the nice part is, I think this, I mean, I tell this story a lot. On the first day we moved virtual for the spring, I popped into a Broadway babies class, which is 3.5 to 5 year olds doing dance, right?
People like me.
Yes. It's geared for Lisa and the other 3.5 year olds in the world. I popped in and I got there and the teacher got there and we were just kind of chatting, and then all the students started coming in, and the joy that was coming out of these 3.5 year old little people, just like, oh my gosh, Tegan, I haven't seen you, right? So the programs have become, yes, they're about teaching skills in theater, 100%, that's what we do. But in many ways, it's about giving kids some sense of normalcy, letting them connect with people in a different way that they haven't been able to. I mean, school, they're even doing individually. They're not even doing Zoom classes very often for school, especially for the little ones. So this was allowing them to be able to kind of connect back with people that they hadn't seen, that they knew. We've run another semester since then, and I've had that exact same experience. It's been really cool, though. There's something really funky and weird about it, too, right? I'm teaching a kindergarten first grade class right now, and they're, you know, this kindergartner's on his phone, and he's holding it, and he's talking to me, and then he's like, oh, let me show you my room, and then he takes me over into his room, you know? And then he's, like, basically eating the camera, but it's allowing him to express himself and talk and have fun and be silly in a way that he's not doing in his everyday. So that's really what that's what we're finding with those younger ages.
Well, you know, what's funny is, like, theater in general, like, you learn these skills. You learn skills that you take in life. It's not even about becoming an actor, an actress, like, yeah. And the thinking outside of the box has always been one of those big skills. But boy, this really has to, like, push the whole envelope and think outside the box in a whole new different way. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't think about that until you made the comment about all this. That's interesting.
And yet, younger folks, this is a medium that they understand much more than I do, for instance. Yeah.
No,
hey, Boomer.
I mean, it's fascinating to see the way our teens, especially, are interacting on Zoom has been interesting too. It's been different, right? They're able to jump in and start going at it and getting in and figuring out how to set up scenes. And they're like, okay, well, everyone's just going to turn off their camera. It'll just be us two on stage, and then we'll talk about, you know, like, then we'll all come back. And where our brains are like, but not everyone is on camera, right? Like, we're 3 steps behind them, and they're figuring it out. That's been really fun to kind of watch.
So we're almost out of time, but I have one more question for you with regards to performance. Most camps, most summer education programs end in some kind of performance. Do y'all plan to do that?
We are not. Well, we've always done what we call the demonstration versus kind of a performance, right? So it was a demonstration of knowledge. So we have not kind of formalized that we're going to do demonstrations, although most of the time our classes are building up to something, to where they're working on a full song. So the parents can attend that day. I'm doing air quotes like we're on a video, but we are on the radio.
Okay,
so
we know what air quotes are.
So parents can watch that day and watch their student do that. Uh-huh. We've had some of our teachers get really creative and actually have set up students information on their Zoom. So then they're doing, like, contagions and things throughout different setup on the Zoom call. They've recorded that and then they sent that out to parents.
Sure.
So there is this show or demonstration element to that. We are looking at doing those type of things too.
Awesome. I one last question, and I keep your answer short because we're like blasting through the time. But Young Playwrights for Change is also coming up. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were going to do a big staged reading of that like we normally do via Zoom, and I haven't been able to kind of organize it for this year, but what we're going to do is do shorter individual staged readings of each of the one of them. We've actually done one for the winning play that we picked this year, and so then we're going to be organizing little ones for the other top six, and then we'll put those out on Zach Now, which is our kind of online content that's going out right now.
Awesome. Where do folks go to get information about classes, Young Playwrights for Change, or anything else at Zach that they might be interested in?
Yeah, at zachtheater.org/education, it will get you wherever you want to go.
Awesome. Well, it was so great to have you on the show. And I want to just invite you to our new virtual backstage. We were able to recreate our backstage experience virtually. So I'm hoping you'd come out there, because I know you have some very big personal news that you would like to share with our audience.
Sure, definitely.
Okay, great. Well, Chad Dyke, thank you so much for joining us on Offstage and On Air. We'll see you backstage.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Teach me that creature how to think.
All right. Well, that was a great interview with Chad Dyke of Zach Theater.
It's good to see his face. He cracks me up.
The song we heard after the interview was Teach Me, Dear Creature, from the Shakespeare Review original London cast of the Royal Shakespeare Company. And I thought that was pretty apropos considering the subject. You know, before we go, I did want to talk about a couple of other things that I missed in the first half of the show. The first was a book that looks like a lot of fun. It's called Flop Musicals of the 21st Century. It looks like it's a follow-up that's inspired from, we all remember, Not Since Carrie. And then there's another book called Second Act Trouble. This one focuses on 10 flop shows of the 21st century. And number one, of course, is our favorite Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Then we had Lestat, Urban Cowboy, The Pirate King, Rocky, and for Nicole, that's a Rocky Das Musical, King Kong, Escape to Margaritaville, Glory Days, Bullets Over Broadway, and Dance of the Vampires. And I have to say that it seems to me that this list doesn't, well, this list pales in comparison to Carrie, which was such an incredible flop. But this book is out, and it is available now. And you can find it at all your regular booksellers.
Well, that does it again. Remember, folks, please look at the survey. You can find it online at offstageonair.com. And take 5 minutes to fill that survey out. And obviously, you may be sent this from several theaters. You only need to fill it out once. So remember to like us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, do all the things. And please stand by for Backstage at Offstage if you're listening on the podcast, because we're back.
Yeah.
Okay, folks. See you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air in the COVID era.
As we go out, let's listen to Justice from the Broadway musical Ragtime. This is Brian Stokes Mitchell, Maren Mazie, and others singing Justice. In honor of Black Lives Matter and everyone else in search of social justice. Bye, folks.
We'll see Justice Sarah and play.
Well, the curtain has come down on We Are Back, the musical.
Boom, boom, boom.
The story of Lisa and Nicole venturing backstage after they've been cooped up in their COVID-19 isolation for months and months. But
I'm so excited. You got us backstage.
So here we are backstage. Nicole, welcome back. Watch out for that puddle.
I totally am. I'm actually almost want to just kind of jump in it. I'm just so excited to be here.
Well, we have two guests that are going to join us back here at separate times. So let's start by talking to Nick Mayo. Here's Nick.
Okay.
Well, Nick Mayo has braved the virtual dumpsters and the, hold on, let me turn on the smell-a-thon. There's the smell-o-vision and the smell of the dumpsters to come backstage virtually with us. Nick Mayo, welcome back to backstage.
I have to say, you must clean up back here. It is filthy.
You would think it would be easier since it's virtual, but it's not.
It's not. I'm trucking through it.
Yeah, there's viruses back here and all sorts of crap.
Masks with little barbecue fingers on the side.
So first of all, let me just ask you how you are personally holding up during this COVID-19 crisis there in New York City.
I'm doing okay. I have a lot of gratitude. It is a really, really scary time to be a human in the world. It is a, and all of our regions have particular challenges in that. It is a real hard time to be a New Yorker right now.
Yeah, I can. I can only imagine. Having lived in New York for 20 years and knowing it would be
it would
very
break your heart.
Break
it would
my
break
heart.
Your heart. It would break your heart. It is hard. Yeah, but doing well. Thank you.
But you are quarantining with your husband.
I am. We are quarantining together, which is what every marriage wants.
Exactly. Well, we're happy that the two of you are together. I also want to, and just because I'm terrible about maintaining information via any source, I just learned that you are working with Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS.
Yeah, I for about 9 months now, I oversee major gifts and planned giving at Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS.
So you're part of the development department there at...
I am.
Did they use an acronym or an initialism?
Broadway Cares.
Well, yeah, okay.
Broadway Cares are BCBA.
Because you know why? Because Broadway cares.
Because we do.
That's why.
I have to let you know, when Mom and I were a whole bunch of shows in New York in the fall, and they were doing all the red buckets, Mom always donates. You know, we always do Broadway Cares, but Mom was doing extra because she's like, Nick Mayo's in charge now. So she was putting extra in. And she kept telling everybody in the theater, she's like, Nick Mayo, give more. I'm like, yes, because everybody knows him, Mom, but you go with it.
I appreciate it. I love it.
Well, we are all happy that you're out there doing that work, because not only is it important and it must feed your soul a little bit, but it's a great organization, and they do some fun stuff.
Yes,
you know, we do amazing, deep, good, truly life saving work, and then we have some fun, mm-hmm. and then we do some more good life saving deep. Hard work, and then we have a lot more fun.
Yep.
It really is a great organization, and one that I've held in high esteem for many years.
Well, good. Congratulations. One of the things that we are now asking all of our guests that come back here backstage is a feeling. So I believe that theater really requires assembly of a group of people in a room and energy feeding off the performers and the audience. And in this world where a lot of us are doing online things, I'm hoping it's temporary, because I think theater as an art form requires people to be together. Not everybody feels that way. How do you feel, Nick Mayo?
Oh, this is a conversation that's happening a lot, right? With a mm-hmm. lot of us. There is not 10% substitution for the gathering of human beings. I am very proud of our resilience, but it's not theater. Theater to me, it is, I have to be careful when I say stuff like that. In my opinion, it is not the theater to me.
I agree.
The theater is a place, is a people, is an energy, is a sharing, is, this is our, I'm so proud of us for doing, for being as resilient, but it is not the theater.
Yeah, I agree. And we're all thirsty to feel that love again in the room together. So yeah, you answered that correctly. Thank you.
I won.
I'm going to give you a little ding sound effect right there. So I do have to say that I meant to say this in the earlier, but I was all set to travel to New York, in June, to be physically part of Pride Place, because I couldn't last year, as was Nicole. She's pointing, which doesn't really work on the radio.
Well, Morgan, I have birthday. I miss. Aww. We have had no confirmation, no graduation, no birthday. Yeah. My birthday, like.
So it looks like Lisa Sheps will be there for the 2021 celebration at Rattlestick.
I would certainly hope that both of you would come, and it will obviously be such an explosion of joy, because we'll be so longing to see each other.
Well, so so that's good. So we are so happy to have you here. I want to talk to you forever, but we can't because people on the podcast are going, how long is this damn thing going to go on?
Like, make him be quiet. Doesn't he have something else to do?
Shut the F up.
You know what? I don't have anything else to do.
Again, Nick, we loved having you backstage. I hope that the dumpsters weren't too oppressive. We do have control over the smell of vision here, and I had it turned up to 11 just for you.
Well, you are the sweetest thing. It was pretty repulsive, but y'all are lovely, so it combated it.
I'll take that as a compliment. Nick Mayo, thanks for joining us backstage.
Bye.
Gotta love that Nick Mayo.
Missing that little rascal.
Doing so good.
And I'm traveling to the dumpsters and back with us. He's quicker than the space. He's quicker than the spaceman.
And finally, to end off our show today, let's talk to Chad Dyke, who joined us backstage by the virtual dumpsters as well. Well, here we are at our virtual backstage. We have virtual dumpsters that virtually smell awful.
I was about to say, how'd you get dumpsters in all of our homes? You're pretty spectacular, Lisa Sheps.
I am virtually spectacular.
Thank you for that dumpster.
joining us back here, creeping out from the internet wires, is Chad Dyke. Zach Theater. Chad, welcome backstage. Have you been backstage with us before?
Oh, yeah. A couple of times, I think.
Well, tell folks, I mean, on a personal level, you have some huge news, and I'd like you to share that with our audience.
I do. In January, my wife and I had our first kid, Jax. He's now 4 months old. Wow, I can't talk today.
Spell
He's
Jax
like on a soap opera.
Spell Jax. J-A-X.
J-A-X. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's if there's only one of him, he's Ajax.
He's Ajax. You're exactly.
Just saying.
She is on fire today, Nicole.
I'm telling you.
She is at her most Lisa right now.
Yeah, Chad, this has not happened for weeks. It's just kind of been like, hey, what's up? Like, this is exciting. This is like old school.
So you have a little male identified infant named Jax. So tell me how this is your first child, right?
Yeah.
How is that experience where you're also, I mean, you're able to spend a lot of time with him because you're at home.
Yeah.
And have you already started like teaching him diction exercises and, tongue twisters and things like that?
We're doing our tongue twisters. Yeah, definitely. We're doing the mame mimo all the time. No, it's been great. I mean, it's been awesome. I'd already started going back to work when all this kind of happened. So I had been back to work for a couple weeks, I guess, at that point in time, maybe even a month. And so coming back home and being able to hang out with him has been great. It's also, I mean, it's hard, but it's great. I get to see him roll. I get to see him. I have him on my Zoom calls all the time, just like hanging out with me. He's an expert at Zoom. Like we were talking about before, he's going to grow up and be able to
do
everything.
He's going to be your IT department. You know that.
100%. He's funny. He'll just sit here for a while and all of a sudden he'll like smile at someone and I'll get a chat in the side that's like, he just smiled at me. And I'm like, he's actually probably looking at himself, you know, but whatever.
Take it any way you can get that. So, well, that's great. Congratulations. Or as my people say, mazel tov. Those are my people. So tell me, so we had talked earlier before we went live that, Zach has experienced a huge downsize in staff. You are obviously still there. How are you personally doing professionally and personally in light of the COVID-19 crisis?
Oh, there's a lot in that. Zach had to, we ended up furloughing about 75% of our staff at the beginning kind of all of this around April. And we actually just did another set of furloughs. So it now is much more, it's hard. I mean, like we in theater, we work with these people that we care about so much. We know each other so personally. So it's hard when you have to make a decision like that of where it's like, we're trying to keep this theater alive. And the only way to do that is to cut back on staff. At the same time, because we have such close relationships with people, it almost is that we're able to have that conversation and say, we want you back. this is a furlough. It's not a layoff. We want to, as best as we can do, we're going to bring you back as soon as we possibly can. And everyone's like, yeah, I understand. I get it. Right. Like, it's not, it wasn't a like, wah, bah, right. Like, no one was mad. No one was upset. Everyone totally got it. But it was gut wrenching. I mean, people that I've worked with for the whole time I've worked at Zach,
yeah,
we had to furlough, and it is like, it cuts you, right?
Yeah, that's hard. I mean,
personally, it's really devastating, and professionally, it's really devastating. But at the same time, you know that it's the only way to have this organization that we all care about survive through this time.
So, we are, I think one of the questions that I'm going to, and you are our first backstage during our pandemic section. So I think one of the questions I'm going to ask everybody, especially when it comes to theater, is, you know, I firmly believe that theater requires an assembly of people in the same room to be theater. I think this online stuff that we're doing is good, but it's not necessarily theater. Nicole and I talked about this last week. How do you feel about that? Online versus in person? Are you okay with this current normal? Where are you on this?
I mean, so my wife, Meg, who you all know, is also a theater.
We love Meg.
Yes.
I know. I was about to say, shout out to Meg.
Yeah. So she and I have this conversation a lot. Like, the reason we got into theater was for this connection with people, right? So in many ways, we're doing these jobs that were, I mean, I'm super excited by this challenge of going virtual with everything. I haven't had to be this innovative as quickly in a very long time.
Sure.
So I will say personally had kind of fallen into this, like, we do this and we do this and that's what we do. And so this kind of like jolt to the system to be innovative is cool. I do like that. But I got into this to be in a room with people and make art. So I think a lot of what we're doing is cool. I think a lot of the online stuff is also a way for people that aren't, that are in rural areas of Texas or don't have access to theater, can actually access theater in a brand new way.
Sure. But we have seen stuff that we would never be able to see under normal circumstances.
Yeah.
Sondheim's birthday, the actor, all this Actors Fund benefits that we're seeing, we would never see those.
Yeah.
I mean, I also said to Lisa, I've now watched shows that I've loved or seen, and I look at them, I've seen things I've never seen before, because I'm looking at it through a lens of being filmed and not live.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it better. It doesn't replace it, but I enjoy it just as much.
Yeah. And it makes it an interesting thing. There's also, I would say that as a theater company, we can't keep up with Netflix. So like us trying to produce plays that are filmed or even the National Theater, right? Like we can't do that. So we're putting out these other things, which I think are really cool and really fun, but it's not theater.
Well, you should be doing more, because you and your wife are theater people trapped in the house. So you should be producing crap like right and left.
So let me ask you this last personal question. What would it take to get your butt in the seat of a theater? Where do we as a community have to be to get Chad Dyke's butt and to ground floor theaters seating?
I think that that's interesting. That's a more complicated question for me. If you had asked me before January,
yep,
I would have had a much different answer. But now Jax is around, and so my answer is very different. It's going to take a lot, honestly. I mean, I've been a part of Zach's planning committee to how we would reopen the theater. And there's a lot of things that we're doing there. I mean, we're talking about temperature checks and masks and social distancing and all of those things. I think for me, it's going to take a lot, but I don't know that I know everything right now.
Yeah. Okay.
It comes down to it like a comfort level, right? Like, I'm not ready to go back to any theater under any circumstances right now.
Sure.
Right? December, November, August, I might feel very differently.
Would it take a vaccine to get you back in a theater?
Maybe. I think there might be instances before then that I would go if, you know, And I think there's been interesting things that are happening in theater. There was just a performance, I believe, in Austin, maybe not. I don't know. That it wasn't in Austin. Fred was telling me about everyone drove in with their cars. You listened to a radio, and they were performing in the middle of the cars. It was a one-person performance. Yep. It was super avant-garde and weird, but like, I would go that tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna do that at ground floor because just the way it's set up, it makes sense.
Yeah, you should. So you have that whole parking lot
there in the garage, you know, in the docks and the deck and stuff. So.
Cool. Well, Chad Dyke, thank you for joining us backstage.
Thanks for having me.
Hold on. Let me turn off the smell of the dumpsters, and it's now clear.
Ah, thanks.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, there was backstage. How did it feel to be back?
It felt really good. I enjoyed all the smells and everything, too.
Me, too. Well, Nicole, I know we're kind of sad on this day, but I'm glad we're doing the show.
Me too. Me too. I will say space made me happy this week. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, you're right. Space
is a pretty big feat. That's another thing we should all be like, whoa.
We should be like, whoa.
I know you and I were.
Big fan. Not everybody is, though.
No, not everybody is. That's a personal thing.
It's true. It's what makes horse races. Like the Ascot Gavotte.
Oh my goodness, you cracked.
Okay, audience, look it up. All right, that's it. See ya.
Every duke and earl and peer is here. Everyone who should be here is here. What a smashing, positively dashing spectacle the atmosphere.